I think we've had a very full morning already. Been very blessed. And we're very blessed to have Kvasikas with us this morning, Brian and Shoshi. We've grown up together, and Brian, Shoshi's husband, been here how many decades now, Brian? 2 decades and some change. Brian works for the Home for Bible Translators, which is now called the Jerusalem Center for Bible Translators. Brian always shares from his heart, and it's always blessed. So we're blessed to have you this morning. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. It's good to be with you. I think I'm going to move this. We're more together now. Amen. Let's pray. Abba Father, we thank you for the opportunity to dig into your word. Pray that your will be done during this time. And may you be glorified in Yeshua's name. Amen. Ezekiel's hope is amazing. Have you read the book of Ezekiel lately? I hadn't. I think it was because my love of Leviticus that I got into Ezekiel. I'm still dating the book. I'm still getting to know it. But I love it more and more. Partly because Jacob Milgram, some of you may know, he's taught from this pulpit, who is Mr. Leviticus, wrote a recent commentary on Ezekiel. I thought, wow, Ezekiel. It's priestly. It has some similar themes as Leviticus. And it helped him write this commentary. I've often also been challenged recently because Bible translators want to know how to translate Ezekiel and the temple portion, which is pretty tricky. It doesn't line up with any other temples that we know. How do you translate these? Is this the dimensions, the size, the shape? And I've been amazed at how Ezekiel has a vision for renewed life. He's rather condemnatory, damning almost, of many of the actions of the Israelites. Deeply chastises them, but he doesn't leave them out without a grand hope. I think it speaks to us today that we need to purge. We need to look to the Spirit, and then we can live out in a metaphorical way, now at least, this vision that Ezekiel has of a renewed temple or a sanctuary, a people, an Eden in a sense, which is really very similar to Jesus' vision and desire for us to be involved in the reign of God, the kingdom of God. Ezekiel's community was beleaguered by many difficulties, And maybe you have many difficulties in your life or your community now. Ezekiel was yanked out of this area of Jerusalem, being a priest from Jerusalem, 10 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, and so he was seeing things from afar. If you would like to, we can open our Bibles and just briefly go through some of that. We'll be focusing more on Ezekiel 11 and other passages, but just to have our Bibles open and see Ezekiel's grand view of things. He was sent into exile. He had been raised up as a Zedekite priest, intending to serve, and God showed up and he served. Not in the way that he thought, probably. Imagine he would have wanted to be in the temple. But God began to prophet, to speak, to provide a vision for Ezekiel on his 30th year, right when he would begin to be serving. He finished his vision and his prophecy at 50 years, right when he would finish his service. But where was he? All the time in the diaspora, in the backwaters, a place that's not central to God's plan at the time, it seemed to him. But God called him there. The diaspora is just a dispersion, right? And I think of us, sometimes we might feel like we have been sent out to places that feel like the end of the world. Growing up in Africa or Europe or America, Jerusalem might not be the most comfortable place. It might be difficult to hear God's voice. But the end of the story is the last verse. The very last verse in Ezekiel. What does it say? The Lord is there. Is the Lord here in our challenging place? Whether it's Jerusalem or our Nona Bills, our family, our community, our wife or husband, terrorism. Life can be challenging, and it might feel like we're on the channel or river of Chabar, far, far, far away where you see God as being present. Ezekiel saw it in Ezekiel chapter 5 that Jerusalem was the center of the world. Ezekiel 5:5. This is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations and lands around her. But she has rebelled against my ordinances more wickedly than the nations, and against my statutes more than the lands that surround her. For they have rejected my ordinances and have not walked in my statutes. Over and over again, Ezekiel rails the Israelites, but also the nations. In the midst of this first part of the book, in fact, Josephus calls Ezekiel two books, and the Talmud does break it up as well in some ways. In the middle of this first section of the book of Ezekiel, we come upon Ezekiel chapter 11, and I'd like to read that together. Starting in verse 13. Ezekiel 11:13. Now it came about, as I prophesied, that Pelatiah, son of Benaiah, died. Then I fell on my face and cried out with a loud voice and said, "Alas, Lord God, will you bring the remnant of Israel to a complete end?" Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, your brothers, your relatives, your fellow exiles, and the whole house of Israel, all of them, are those to whom you the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, go far from the Lord. This land has been given us as a possession. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, though I had removed them far away among the nations, and though I had scattered them among the countries, yet I was a sanctuary for them a little while in the countries where they had gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. When they come there, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people, and I shall be their God. But as for those whose hearts go after their detestable things and abominations, I will bring their conduct down on their heads, declares the Lord God. It is amazing how God gives us in part what we deserve and doesn't give us what we deserve by God's grace. Amen. It's also amazing that reverberations of Ezekiel find their way into the New Testament in surprising places. We're going to hear some of those in a little bit. Galatians chapter 3, Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 10. I'm not going to go there because I think it's from the Lord that my first page didn't get printed this morning. It was probably too heavy and too much linguistics, but it's there. If you do God's instructions, you will live. It's there. We don't like it sometimes because we just want to ride on grace, but it's really there. It's later on in Revelation. We're going to hear that later soon. And it's surprising how it crops up. I don't remember the other places because it was on the first page, but it's there. It's surprising how Ezekiel is in our New Testament. What does God promise in this passage in Ezekiel 11? That I will be for them a sanctuary for a little while. Reminds us of how we are called to be a renewed sanctuary, a temple, the people of God that Paul calls us to be. This isn't necessarily to displace the temple. Ezekiel was envisioning the new temple, and yet he was still calling them to be a sanctuary. We can do that now as a community here at Narkees. In our families, we can allow God's presence to be binding us together. But if we have idolatry in all its forms, God won't be present. He won't. Now, none of us have idols, probably, right? But we do have other forms of idolatry. Greed, Lashon Hara, talking badly about others, even if it's true. It's true. It's still evil speech. Consumerism, pornography, materialism, all these things are forms of idolatry because they can. They don't necessarily, but they can. Well, pornography is okay. But they can and do take the place of God's number one spot in our life. Amen? And if we want God's Spirit, if we want to be able to live in God's teachings, we must purge ourselves, our communities, of all of these vices and evil things. Amen. And then, right, God will give us one heart and put a new spirit within us and give us a heart of flesh. And only then will the Spirit empower us to actually live out what God has commanded. We can wallow in our sin. We can wallow in our self-pity. We can wallow in our needs. I was at a fundraising seminar, and I thought there was a beautiful truth. I mean, you know, fundraising is not so great, right? But he built it as relationships, and he had a beautiful point. You can't lead with your need. You have to lead with a vision. And I think there's a deep truth to that in our Bibles. God, you have to lead. You cannot lead with your need. You have to lead with your vision. Positively put, lead with your vision, not with your need. That's, in a part, the story of the Bible. God provides a vision of something greater. Greater than our ragtag community. The disciples were a ragtag group, right? We are, in our families, in our communities. It's messy. It's challenging. God says we can have one heart. We can have a new spirit if we purge ourselves, give ourselves to God, and follow the vision. The greater vision of a new temple. What does that mean? It seems kind of actual, but we can also understand it maybe as God's presence. For sure, everybody can agree with that. I mean, I mentioned, I think Gary or somebody, and you know, speaking of Ezekiel in the temple, and he's like, whoa. You know. Here in Narcisse, we don't want to push an eschatological agenda, right? And yet, it's in the Bible, and we do want to all agree, I think, on the reality that God's temple or God's presence is what is desired. God wants to be present among us. And that for Ezekiel was painting this very detailed picture of a temple. And not only that, something that even goes beyond the temple, and which is trying to communicate the presence of God. How is it communicated in Ezekiel chapter 47? Maybe we can have, we have three readers amongst us. Ezekiel 47 verses 1 through 12 has a vision that goes beyond the temple wherever the river goes. Does that sound good? Fruit all the time. Their fruit won't wither. Okay, thanks. And healing. God's presence provides healing. Do you need that? Do we need that? Does our community need that? Does our world need that? We need God's vision of Ezekiel. We need God's presence in our lives. In focusing on our situation and our needs, it's important to be aware where we're at. But if we don't have God's vision and where He wants us to lead us, then we are going to be stuck. We're not going to move forward, and we are not going to be living in God's Spirit. We've got to purge. We've got to walk the vision, and we can follow God's instruction. Amen. There are many things that can encumber us as people, as a community. When I was younger, I think I was more idealistic. I still am an optimist overall, I think. I thought we could all be one and everything would just be great. And it doesn't work like that, it seems. But when I was in college, you know, I wanted to do community things. And when I came here, Gary and I and Adam Focht and others, Keith, and Alex Pettit, tried to have a community home, right? And so I was trying to get us all together, and it didn't work out quite the way I envisioned it, but it was great. It was good. I grew up with devotions. I don't know. And so I thought we should all have devotions in a set way, but that was like kfiyah datit, you know, in Hebrew, like religiosity. Different people had different. Adam was amazing. He didn't need. He woke up. He was eating his cornflakes and reading a chapter in Hebrew every morning. Boom. You know. I needed that community help, I think, because I was weaker. I wouldn't do it, right? So I wanted to stir up to have something. So, I think Sean Vanier's quote here. John Vanier has written a bunch of things on community. This quote I found in Unpacking for our apartment, you know, I was like, boy, this is... I remember when I believed this. I still want to believe it. Once we have discovered the mystery of covenant... and the community as a body. Many aspects of hierarchy, rivalry, competition, and the need to prove ourselves to be the best begin to disappear. I'll read it again. Once we have discovered the mystery of covenant and the community as a body, many aspects of hierarchy, rivalry, competition, and the need to prove ourselves to be the best begin to disappear. Do you believe that? Are you willing to live that? The rich mystery of covenant in all its forms and the community as a body. Once we have discovered this, known this, many aspects of hierarchy, rivalry, competition, and the need to prove ourselves to be the best begin to disappear. Are you willing to dream with God? Are you willing to receive the vision that God has for you and your family? It goes against much of life's knocks, difficulties.
cynicism that's rampant. We're even trained to be cynical. When we get older, it's harder. We've been burned. We've been misunderstood. We've wronged others. We're broken. Ezekiel is an amazing picture of broken bones. You know the valley of the dry bones? I had a physical example of that this summer. I was waiting for it to be dusk in New York, Western New York, where I pastored for a year, and somebody gave me 10 acres to build a cabin. I tried to get back there every once in a while and pick at it. So I was waiting for the dusk to come or near to get these huge number of wasps and bees, right? So I was armed with cans and went up the ladder and up to the loft and started spraying. Shh. Prior to this, my mom said, you know, Baruch or Brian, let's pray. I said, Mom, I'm going up to spray wasps, you know, come on. I mean, like, what's the big deal? You got to know my mom is a prayer warrior. So I said, okay, let's pray. I was like, okay, let's pray. She prayed for me. When I came down from spraying, our homemade ladder, 10 foot long, had an 8 foot seam, broke. I fell 8 foot, 2.5 meters. Broke my ramus, which is a part of the pelvis. I hopped back on the four-wheeler and get down. Put up my leg. I think I'm okay. Mom says, why don't you try to walk? I can't walk. I was like, oh, man. 2 weeks, I'm guiding a trip in Greece, Turkey, and Rome. Don't have good insurance because I only wanted to get a little insurance. I drove down to the hospital. Didn't want to go. Couldn't walk. Had to go. I was so mad. So angry. It's an angry kind of pain, you know. My mom was going to park the car and couldn't get to the I could see it. I couldn't get to the wheelchair, right? And my mom, I was like, I just want to get out. So she lets me out. I thought I could kind of hop or something. I'm stuck. So she's parking the car. I'm like on the floor on the sidewalk. So I end up crawling into the emergency room. I was so mad. I was like, oh. They're like, well, we gotta x-ray it. I was like, oh, man, that's money. The x-ray came back. Not certain. Looks a little bit broken. Can't tell. Got to get an MRI. Oof, no way. That's the money. I was like, I don't want to do it. Talk to the head doctor. Called up my brother, who was a PA, physician's assistant or nurse practitioner, and said, you better do it. I could be bleeding inside. Finally did it. I didn't want to do it. It was like the movies. I've never done it. Maybe you've been in there. You know. It's like, oh, man, this is money every second. It's like $1,000, you know. Came out. It's going to be okay, but you're not going to be able to walk for a few weeks. I emphasized a few weeks. I was like, I don't want to hear that, you know. It took a long time for it to be healed, a real long time. I was in crutches all of this journey, Paul. I can still feel it a teeny bit. This is, what, I don't know, 5 months later. God has a vision of repairing bones, taking dead bones even, and bringing them back alive. He's in the business of restoring bodies, of restoring you, me. He doesn't need MRIs. He needs something bigger, the Spirit of God, because we're tough. We're broken. I'd like us to imagine you and us and Narkis and Jerusalem even, the community at large, restored, your family restored. Imagine communing with anyone, how good that feels. With your wife, with a good friend, talking with someone, being understood, sharing, giving. God desires us to be a renewed community, to bring up our dead bones and bring them back to life again. The initial exhibit at the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum is maybe one of the most powerful to me because people are shot up and dead in graves. And now some of those people, I believe, came back because they weren't fully dead, some of them, and came back and made it back to the land. God wants to restore us, our dead bones, our broken bones, our hurts, our concerns, our frailties, and God wants to be known by you. I'd like us to read two more passages and then we'll close. I think because of the heating, I'll ask you maybe to come forward. First reading of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Yeah.
This is now the second letter that I have written to you, beloved, and in both of them I have aroused your sincere mind by way of reminder. You should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand this, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own passions and saying, "Where is the promise of this coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation." They deliberately ignore this fact, that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago, and an earth formed out of water by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of persons ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be kindled and dissolved, and the elements melt with fire? But according to his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you wait for these, be zealous to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the forbearance of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him.
It's a long time coming, but it's on its way. And what kind of people ought we should be? Holy, blameless. The vision of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Are you ready to allow God's presence to be with you? Are you and I willing to purge our lives that we can allow the river of God to flow, that it would bring life to us, to our communities? Like to close with Revelation chapter 22, 1 through 17.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming suddenly. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming suddenly, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty, 'Come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price.'"
Let us take just a moment and allow the Spirit of God to work in us, to purge, to receive the vision, to imagine observing God's teachings, and basking in the presence of God, the water that brings healing and fruit, because God promises us that he will be with us. With Ezekiel's chapter 48, that he will be there. Let's take a moment. Amen.